Second half of the People Show coming to you live from the Kintech Studio. The People Show. It's brought to you by Applewood Mitsubishi. Mitsubishi's 10-year, 160,000-kilometer powertrain warranty. It's bold, but they have 100 years to back it up. Details at Applewood Mitsubishi in the Richmond Auto Mall. It's a Tuesday edition here on the People Show. That means we get to talk to longtime NHLer, former Vancouver Canuck, Yannick Hansen. You hear him on Fridays on Canuck Central. You hear him on game days during the playoffs as well on the pregame show later today at 6:30 with Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. They're coming up with the start of their show, Canuck Central, in about a half hour. But let's talk to Yannick, who's brought to you by Magnuson Auto Group, Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. Yannick, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent, as always. Fun night tonight, but let's review before we preview the ending there of Game 4, the chaos there. But before we get into what happened, was there a moment that you reflected upon that felt like, hey, that reminded me of this game that you played?
I sat with a bad feeling, I think, like a lot of people. It wasn't so much that they were losing. It was more so how they were losing. It was more so the same, not producing, being kept at bay. So it was more so how the game looked. Obviously, it was, I don't know, 50, 59 minutes of pretty bad hockey. And then all of a sudden, the game turns on its head. But yeah, there were some parts of that game that does not breed a lot of confidence.
But the ending in particular, was there a memory that, you know, when you were playing, they said, hey, a chaotic end was there for you and similar ending for you?
Oh, off the top of my head, no. Like that comeback was like, coming out of nowhere. Obviously, you've been down and come back, but more so two goals in a big, big swing game. No, I can't remember that happened to or me being part of something like that.
What do you take away then from the final 3 minutes and 4 minutes, if you want to include OT, that you feel is translatable into the game five tonight?
The only thing that matters is that you won, and now you're up 3-1. Again, like I said, that game was not pretty in a lot of ways. It seemed like the game is playing right into Nashville's hands, their premises. I know they're playing in Nashville, and teams tend to kind of take over at home, outside of obviously Dallas and Vegas series. But other than that, like when you play at home, you can dictate a little bit more. And that was kind of how it played out. I won't say Vancouver didn't earn the wins, but they definitely didn't look like the superior teams in those two games. But somehow they found a way to get the wins.
You know, we get caught up during the season of like process and hey, these 10 game samples don't look very good or look really encouraging. When you get to the playoffs, do you just throw that out? Because it is short sample, right? You can be bad for 4 games, but as long as you're getting wins in those, you're on to the next round. You can work on the problems. How much do you worry about process right now in the playoffs?
It's all about results. It's all about results. It's getting that win. Getting it anyway, anyhow, it doesn't really matter. And then you hope it corrects itself, because there are glaring issues right now in Vancouver. Again, goaltending was probably going to be at the top of the list, but it's not. Whoever's been in net have played really, really good. So you can't even you can't fault them or put a finger on anything there. There are other things that are issues, but goaltending is definitely not one of them. Which is a big plus, because again, when Demko went down, it was like everybody was, oh no, what's going to happen now? Is it four and done kind of thing? And it wasn't. They had two capable backups now to won a game each. And that gives you a little bit of confidence that, yeah, okay, you're missing your number one goaltender. But the team didn't falter. It didn't falter. We can start picking at other things now that needs to pick up. Petey, for once, is one of them. His game in Nashville was, I don't know, he looked like he didn't want to be there. And that's a big issue right now, because you're going to need him. You have a line that doesn't work. And it's one thing if it doesn't work and it doesn't produce for you, but his line is hurting you right now. So they need to fix that.
So which glaring issues, you know, stand out the most as far as the team concept? I do want to get into Pettersson, but, you know, the thing that's been harped on a lot is it feels like they're losing the neutral zone right now.
They're not getting anything done. And it's always easy to look at the shot clock at the end of the night and say, oh, we weren't in the offensive zone. But it's that's the first thing. It does mean that your territory, where the game is being played, is not where it needs to be. When you produce 10, 12, 16 shots in a game, you're not doing enough. You're not getting to the inside of the ice. You're not breaking through the neutral zone. You're not getting out of your own end. You're getting hemmed in your end. So there are some things there, and that's a team issue, because that's not on any one player. That's his fault that they're not getting shots on net or getting opportunities. No, that's the team that needs to pick up. And again, that can go back to, you're in Nashville now, first time you're in the playoff for pretty much every one of these guys in playoffs that are real and that matters. And I kind of got blown away a little bit by, okay, this is what buildings can look like too, and this is the intensity, because we've never felt this before, and I thought I was a pretty good hockey player, and all of a sudden I'm not anymore. So there are a couple of things, but again, those little things, you can't wait for them to fix themselves, because you need to get on top of this as quick as possible.
You know, what's interesting too is that their goals that they've scored, They're high danger chances, right? They're like premium spots, and they're open, and it's not as if they're creating lucky goals, but the overall chance creation feels like it's really struggling in zone. And I've been talking about quite a bit that, like, when they get the puck low, they seem to be able to create off of how Nashville is defending, but there has been a lot of one and done and just willingness to just shoot into the slot or right at Saros that hasn't really generated the next chance that they seem to want to create.
Yeah, one of the things you can always look at, and on TV it's a little, it's easy to do, but when you carry the puck and you come through the neutral zone, you get into the offensive zone, you have the puck, tend to have the puck, or you're dumping it. What happens next? And again, if you look at the picture, and know the picture is moving, but when Vancouver has been coming into the Nashville zone, I'm looking for white jerseys or blue jersey or whatever color they are. I'm looking for Canucks jerseys, and they're not there. It's one guy forechecking, another guy chasing, and then the camera pans out, and the D's are in the neutral zone, and the third guy is not following up. So you're not together in a five-man unit, and that's because you're playing on your heels instead of your toes. So you're always worried, you're always hesitant. But because of that, it means that, like, instead of playing with pace, playing with the puck, playing, feeling good about your game, you're hesitant, and that hesitation turns into a negative real fast, because now you don't have the puck, and everything you're trying to avoid, which is playing in your end, giving up opportunities, that will happen because you're afraid of taking that step forward. And if you go back and you reverse that picture and you're watching Nashville dumps the puck in, there's four or five guys in the picture. D-men's are on the blue line. They're pinching. You're finishing checks. You see the Nashville forward finishing his checks. The second guy's right there ready to pick up the puck, where when it's in Vancouver's offensive zone, it's that one-and-done mentality that you just mentioned. And again, that comes from being hesitant, nervous, not wanting to make mistakes. But then you fall right into that category anyways.
Is that something when you were playing that you felt, and that it took something to eliminate, and you finally overcame that, or is that something you notice as well from other guys?
It happens to everybody.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get out of, and it's hard work, because it requires everybody moving, everybody skating, and it's always easy to say, oh, well, I'm a forward, I'm going to skate one way. No, I need my D's to skate up too, but it's hard work for the D's too to close that gaps, because they've just been pinned in again. Maybe they've been finished in the end boards in our end. Mm-hmm. Now I need them to sprint to the blue line. And if they're not doing that, it creates that gap. So it's hard work. And credit to Nashville, they have found a way to get to Quinn Hughes especially, in a way where he does not look and feels like he's done through 82 games in the regular season. They've been punishing him. And it's, again, it's playoffs. And you're going to see if you can throw off the other team's players in ways. And, again, they have certainly decided to target him, and target him they have.
When you're talking about this, you know, for a lot of the focus has obviously been on the Pedersen line, but the other lines have had their problems, you know, gaining that territorial edge, even though they've had success scoring. Is it all the forwards, or is it most of the players, or is it specifically a line that you're looking at?
Well, you're going to start at the top, and Petey is the highest paid forward as of next year, so you're going to zone right in on him for that production that you're needing. Once that production isn't there, then you look at, okay, how are they playing now? Are they at least creating? Are they almost breaking out? And that's not there either. Now we start looking, are you hurting ourselves? Or are we getting scored on when he's on the ice? And one of the, like, the picture paints a thousand words kind of thing. When they get scored on that first goal and he kind of cruises around the corner, Nashville goes to celebrate and he gets absolutely barreled. There's no frustration, no angers. When he sits on the bench and one of the coaches come over and talk to him, no emotion. No emotion is shown. No irritation of what just happened. Just sit with it with a blank stare. And I can live with that if he comes out the next shift and runs somebody through the end walls and produces scoring chances. But that was his game. He was a couple steps behind, looking, a couple of turnovers where you can see that he's looking at somebody else, and then he starts skating, but now it turns into a two-on-one against. So there were so many issues with his game, and like again, it's not just the game. It was the attitude that kind of got me, where I was expecting some sort of response, and it just wasn't there. And again, you're hoping it's not just a one-off, but you're hoping that they can find a way to get him out of this, because right now it doesn't look like he's having fun playing in the playoffs. And again, if you're not having fun, if you're not engaged, it's a very tough place to be.
Reports yesterday, you know, you might be playing with something, but it's April, right? It's turning into May. Everyone's kind of playing with something at this stage. And my point yesterday was, like, even if you're playing with something, you still have to find a way to be effective. Even if it's not, hey, putting up a hat trick like Brock Besser did, you still have to find a way to be effective in the defensive zone. And there were moments where in Nashville, like, he had his struggles.
If you're playing with something, I'm all for it, and everybody does it. But if you're hurting your team, get him out of the lineup. If that's how he plays, and he ends up costing a goal here and there against, it's not worth it. It's not worth it if he's not tilting the ice or even holding his own. Then you got to get him off the ice and get somebody else in who will run through a wall for the team, because it didn't look like he did what he wanted to do that.
Game 5 tonight. We'll see if they close it out. What makes elimination games so special or so difficult?
Desperation. It's there. Everybody knows it. And the old mantra, you got nothing to save it for, because you lose this one, you're done. So it is the desperation on the team that are on the verge of being out. And then it comes on the team that are trying to finish them to match that. But again, there's a different sense in the air when you know that the next goal might be the one that sends one team on holidays, if you will.
This is kind of like this group's, like, we've kind of pushed aside the bubble playoffs. They win around here. Like, this is kind of the start of the era then. What was the first round that you guys won that it felt like? And you kind of look around and be like, all right, we can do this, and what it means for the next few years.
The first round we won. We played the playoff. I got called up in 07.
Yeah.
Was still the tail end of the West Coast Express. So it kind of got turned over there.
The St. Louis series, I would say, right?
St. Louis series is the next one. And I wouldn't even say like we were, like, that team was very, very good. It was very deep. Like, Matt Sundin was coming on at that point. He'd been back for 3 months now, and we ran into the potential or the eventual Stanley Cup winner that year. So it was like they went to the conference final against Detroit, right?
Chicago, yeah.
Chicago went to the conference final and they won it the next year. We were right there with Chicago and Detroit. So it wasn't like we're on the precipice of some. No, we're like, we get through these guys, it's us. And it was like that both in 9-10, and then obviously 11, it had shifted to now it was teams have to come through us kind of thing. But there's no question. Like, it wasn't like you were entering into something with those teams. Those were veteran, mature, old teams that wanted to win, that had players who had been around for a long time and were able to be productive in when it mattered too.
But this first series win, like that, I imagine could be huge for this group to kind of understand, like, hey, this is something that should be regular now.
Yeah, it is. And hopefully you get a taste of it. Like you said, now they all came out after that game one and it's like, okay, this is what playoffs is loud and this is like, and this is how loud a building can be. You kind of get an idea of that. Now you get a chance to finish out a team on home ice, which is that special too. So hopefully that's what grows a little seed in their bellies, and it's like this is what we want. And now you start showing it because it's the commitment, it's the will to do just about anything in order to win. It's that culture that you're trying to create, trying to manufacture out of nowhere, and it comes from winning, it comes from having success, it comes from achieving something together. And again, winning a series definitely does that. Some adversity does that as well, but nothing breeds winners like winning.
Talking to Yannick Hansen as we do on Tuesdays. He'll be back later on the postgame or on the pregame show as well with Sat and Dan. So we'll leave the Canucks stuff there. Looking across the league, we thought maybe Toronto was in that moment that they finally cleared a hurdle last year. They had bounced, and now it looks grim there once again, and players are sniping at the bench. Did you like that the guys ruined that on the bench, or is it a sign of bigger issues?
No, I think it's a sign of bigger issues there. It's the same issue every time in Toronto. And again, the makeup of the team, you look at it, you spend half your cap on four guys, and those four guys aren't getting it done, then what? And again, you can draw some parallels to Edmonton because they have a lot of money tied up to two guys too. But those two guys drive the team every single night, where Toronto's guys, they just falter and flutter. Is it a tougher opponent they're playing against in Boston and Tampa in the years Toronto have been losing? Maybe. But again, like it's the same story. You see the holes in their team. They can't get out of their own end. These are suspect. Goaltending is an issue. All of these things. And there are just so many question marks surrounding the team. Why is Nylander out? Again, how do you pull a guy with an illness in the second period is what questions me a little bit. Like he's healthy enough to start the game,
right?
But he's not healthy enough to end the game. What's going on there? And what decisions are being made by these? And I do these in quotes, like doctors, that he can start the game but he can't finish the game. And again, there's a lot of frustration from the outside. Maybe it makes perfectly sense when you have all the information, but it's Toronto, and it's just another thing that comes to them and at them that happens to them that does not happen to other teams around the league.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And the thing I can't wrap my head around is the Marner thing. Like, I think he's a fantastic player, right? He gets a huge contract. He puts up a lot of points. He penalty killed, and he's good at it. And he does all these good things during the regular season. And it's like he transforms into a different player once the playoff starts. I can't understand it.
Yeah, because Toronto is a regular season team. They're good at scoring goals, easy games, easier games. And when we lose a game in a regular season, it doesn't really matter. And we still put up points. But then comes the playoff, and now we all of a sudden have to check, and we have to do all these other things, and we have to defend, and we're not really used to that. So we're changing our style now, and Toronto doesn't play the same way in the postseason as they do in the regular season. So their game just isn't built for playoff. It's a lot of skill, a lot of finesse, a lot of highlights, and that doesn't happen in the playoffs. And again, talk about Marner and Nylander again. We talked about the money. You got so much money allocated on the wings. When you look at a lot of other players around the league, yeah, Edmonton's got McDavid and Draisaitl, a lot of money. Vegas got a lot of money in Eichel. But these guys are centers, and the lines revolve around them. Marner and Nylander almost need somebody to get them going. They need somebody to get them the puck. If they're in their own end, they're just picking their nose against the, a defenseman and then making sure you're covering somebody. They're not the one winning the puck battle in the corner or behind the net, breaking it out, coming through the neutral zone. No, they need somebody to do this for them, get them the puck in their hands, and then on the last half of the ice, that's when they excel. But Toronto's issue is they can't do that because, again, all the money is going other places, so the puck doesn't go in their hands. And again, in the regular season, it's a little bit different. Competition is a little bit lower. It's a little easier to play. So it doesn't get highlighted as much. And that's, in my opinion, one of the areas where they're struggling and why they're struggling. Again, they're great players, and Marner is everything you want in a winger. Good, responsible in defensive zone, can kill penalty, can obviously produce in bunches and stuff like that. But again, when the plays are being dictated in the defensive zone and you're trying to win that matchup, Marner won't do that for you. And that's not because he's a bad player. No, that's because he's a winger. It's not his job. It's the center and the D's that are kind of winning that battle in his own end, behind the net, in the corners, and then getting out and through. And again, that's where they're lacking some depth.
Tampa gets eliminated, and Florida just kind of takes care of business in five games. And really, right now across the league, is round one a bit underwhelming, because it's 3-1, 3-1, 3-1. There's already two teams out in 4 and 5. Has round one been a bit underwhelming to you? I think the games have been good, but the stakes don't seem like they're there right now.
Yeah, the priority probably isn't as close as we want it to. Florida looks scary. They look very, very good. Very deep, and they took care of Tampa, which on paper looked halfway decent. Obviously, they had some injuries they're dealing with, but they looked good, and they still had a championship makeup there. A lot of people or players that were around when they were winning as well, but they just looked like they knew what they're doing. Took no prisoners, knew how to finish out games, and it kept coming at Tampa, and Tampa needed. They needed some luck in order to survive, and they didn't get it.
Does it feel like kind of an era over in Tampa Bay now?
Yeah, it does a little bit. I mean, they're getting older now, and it's not so much it's getting over in Tampa. It's that the teams that are coming are younger and are only going to get better, and you're kind of on the other way of that. Like, Tampa was so good because they had all these contracts that were really, really favorable to them. Now all of those players got a chance to win a Stanley Cup, got new contracts, new deals, and you lose a line. They lost their whole third line the first time they won, and they still managed to come back and winning, but then they lost more guys on top of that. So it's one of those things that winning, yeah, you're going to win and it's going to feel good, but it's short-lived because people get paid, and then you're losing the team that are put together that are the winning team, and you can't just find the replacement for those guys.
The only series close right now, Vegas and Dallas, and it's living up to the billing because they're winning on the road, and it's all series are physical, but I feel like this one has been the most physical. Highlighted yesterday, McNabb with the hit, and then gets hit right away by Ben. It's been a fantastic series.
Yeah, it seems like those are like. I don't think Vegas should have been where they were, to be honest. I don't know why they finished in a wild card spot. They're obviously better than that. The team they managed to put together. Before those two games were played in Vegas, I was almost ready to say, like, this series, you have a Dallas team who won the West. You're number one. You're playing against the eighth-place team, and you're not even the favorite before the puck is dropped in the series. Like that's how you look at the Vegas team when you kind of look at the name. I know they haven't played and they're injured and coming back and all these things, but that team is so good. 60s, centers, wingers, they can be physical, they can be skilled. So again, it was a sucky matchup. There's no question about that for Dallas, but it obviously makes for a very entertaining and a very good series.
Yannick, we appreciate it as always. We'll hear from you later today on the pregame show, and we'll see if the Canucks can wrap it up.
That would be nice. Take care.
It's Yannick Hansen. All right, we got to run here on the People's Show. He's brought to you by Magnuson Auto Group, Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, Magnuson Ford, and Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. Sportsnet 650 playoff coverage brought to you by Sky Avenue Kitchen and Lounge. Discover Surrey's newest luxury dining experience. Experience the richness of Canadian cuisine prepared by a Michelin-recommended chef. Reserve your table today at skyavenue.com. Reach sat on the way here, home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.